I think it's a privilege for me to introduce the book of Mark, and I'm hoping you get the feel of this. As I composed this message, I threw in a lot of words like at once, briefly, hastily, immediately, because that is what Mark does. Matthew, Luke, John, they all have introductions. I mean, there's a genealogy, there's a nativity story, there's a theological poem. Mark 1:1 says this, the beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, Son of God. I mean, bang, it's got you right there. Immediately, Mark launches into the good news about Christ's ministry, his death and resurrection. Now, Mark probably received his gospel at the feet of Peter, but that's what tradition says. But he got to see this good news spread through the Roman Empire. He got to see it spread rapidly through the Roman Empire. So after a brief introduction, I mean, he just has a brief mention of John announcing that Jesus has come. He's announced that the king is here. And then immediately, he goes into how the king's arrival changes both personal and global history. He just starts right off into it. And in just 14 verses in the first chapter, we see that Jesus is the king of God's kingdom, and that he showed up, and that his arrival changed minds, and it changed lives, and it changes the world. So first, the king brings new thinking. He changes minds. Verses 14 through 15, and this is what we read at the beginning of the service. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Now, John had announced the coming of the kingdom. Jesus, the king, came to establish that kingdom. So John is an announcer. Jesus is the real thing. He's the real deal. He's the game changer. He changes everything. So after he arrived, John disappears off the scene. He immediately is in prison. There's no background here. We just don't have no... All of a sudden, John's in prison, you know. No, nothing else to the story. And then he's off the scene. And then the Old Testament expectations that John was preaching about, they now become New Testament experiences. New Testament experiences. John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And that was as a preparation for the coming of the kingdom. Jesus said exactly the same thing, but he said it as the way to participate in the kingdom, to have this change of mind. That's what the word repentance means. It's the word metanoia. You've probably heard that again and again from the pulpit. A change of mind. It's a turning from one way of thinking to turn to another way of thinking. And that is the requirement that Jesus is talking about at the very outset of his preaching ministry, is to repent, change your mind. Why? Because the kingdom of God is arriving. And he's the king. He's the king announcing this. So Mark, quickly, he moves us from Old Testament thinking to a New Testament awareness. But he shows us that the king's arrival isn't just for a mental change. It's not just to change our minds about something. The king brings kingdom living. Verses 16 through 20 read this way. I wish I could have put this in there, but it wouldn't fit in the worship folder. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, he said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Mark skips over background. I mean, he just does not talk too much about the background. Background material is in all the other Gospels if you want to read it. But Mark jumps right into it, and he's in haste to show us something. That the king's arrival changes personal histories. I mean, they were fishermen of fish. Now they become fishermen of men. And in a sense, we're all that. But there's a lot of ways that God changes our lives when he comes into our lives, when he shows up. All of us have had various backgrounds. We were raised in different ways, different families, maybe a little bit different subcultures. And in all of that, the backgrounds were usually a self-focus, before we came to know Christ, a self-focus, self-fulfillment, let's just get on with our show. Let's get on with our show, because it's our show, so let's get on with it. But that was before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords arrives. Because really, he's the king, and everything has to come under his authority, his background. And his background is, he's God. But now he's become human, so he could be our human king. And so, wow, everything changes. So this self-focus and self-fulfillment, it can be a little bit dangerous. The kingdom of self is dangerous territory. And the reason why it's dangerous territory is because the expert in self-determination is Satan. He's the expert in how to determine things for himself. You know? And since he knows, he's been on that territory for a long time, so anybody steps on that territory, he grabs them. So it's a dangerous territory. But when the king comes, each earthly background that we knew meets the same bottom line, and that is the choice between worldly living, worldly thinking, only self-fulfillment, or kingdom living. Kingdom living. Jesus the King didn't come to bring fame and fortune and a good time on earth. He sure didn't come to bring just a good time on earth. His Father sent him to free us from self-rule and bring us into a new world of kingdom rule, kingdom living. Colossians 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son." There's been a big change, a transfer. In fact, that level of deliverance from Satan, it really changes the whole ball game on this planet. It is a global change. And we see this in the next verse. The king brings global change in verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. The king arrived, as he said, with authority, and they recognized it. These people recognized he had authority in his teaching, and he had authority, spiritual power, over the power of the enemy, over the king of darkness. This is a new thing. This is something new. And this is new on the planet. This is a time where the kingdom of God confronts the kingdom of darkness. And darkness can be undone by kingdom light. But we look around us and we say, well, it's not being undone everywhere. There's a reason. I don't know how many of you have ever read this book. It's called C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. Have you read that? How many have read that? Okay, not very many. It's very short, but I have read it maybe 15 times. It is that good. And each time that I read it, I always get something more out of it. What he was showing, that it is in the human free will that we determine the division between heaven and hell. It's not all about places. It's about attitudes of submission to God or resistance of God. In fact, I didn't put this in my sermon. I don't know if I can quote it entirely from his... It's from his book, The Great Divorce. Someone is explaining about him, about what it is, the division between heaven and hell. And he says, at the end, there will only be two things. Either God will say, we will say to God, thy will be done. Or he will say to us, thy will be done. And that is the division between heaven and hell. It's big. And so John, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, he says this. We know that we are children of God, and we know that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Right there you see a division. And what that division is based on is on response to the rule of God. A response to the authority of God. Response to the kingdom reign of God. Response to the king. What will it be? That's the big issue. Human volition creates this division. I had to put a little poetic thing in there. But his world-changing commission, in his world-changing commission in Matthew, his commission to make disciples, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That authority can break Satan's hold on people. It can do it. It can break the hold of Satan on people if they submit to the king. In other words, what makes that authority work? Submission to the king, and then the authority comes in there. And that's what we see through this whole Gospel of Mark and the Book of Acts and on down through Scripture. Repentance, this turning, this change of mind, repentance starts the change from self-focus, self-life, to kingdom living. Personal change begins the global change. At his return, it says, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's what's going to happen at the second coming. There will be no choice involved. He's coming, he's going to set up his throne. But until then, there's a way for people to be delivered immediately, down here, in the here and the now, right now, one by one, from the domain of darkness, to enter into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And what is that way? It's by acknowledging, yes, it's recognizing the King has come. The King that was prophesied. The King whose kingdom will rule all other kingdoms. He's here. He's come. And by submitting to the reign of that king. That is the message in the Gospel of Mark. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is nigh. Thank you, Lord God, for this beginning. I mean, it's right in the first chapter. It just gives us the whole picture. And Lord, I thank you that we're going through this. I pray as we go through this book, the Gospel of Mark, that, Lord, you'll bring out things that will help our lives to get a hold of what it means for your authority to be in our lives, kingdom authority to be in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.